expenses, if they've spent money over the summer doing a vacation.
You know, I know the first of the year, what do people do in January? Like, if you call January the new year, what is the one thing that you hear about that people try to do, let's say? Make resolutions. And what is the number one resolution in North America? Anybody know?
Lose weight.
Lose weight. That's right. Wow, people know that. Well, Pam and a friend of hers and I am going to get in on this. We have decided to try to lose some weight. And so that'll be our September resolution. We'll see how that works. But I know there was a certain wife who was looking at her husband, and he was standing on the scales, and he was sucking his stomach way in and standing there. And she goes up to him and says, "Honey, that's not going to do any good to suck in your gut when you're standing on the scales." He says, "Well, it does some good for me, honey, because if I don't, I can't see the numbers." And that certain wife was not Pam. That was not her that did that. But I don't have to do that. I can see the scales. I just step way back. There's different things that we try to do. And one of the things that people find, especially if they've kind of lived life to the max over the good weather of the summer, and I don't know if there's anybody here that's spent a little more than their budget allows, and then you get into some trouble because you're trying to catch up. Sometimes we can even get into trouble, you know, with our credit and that. And I'm hoping we're not in that place. But, you know, do you ever wonder what it would be like to be in trouble? I mean, like real trouble where like Dog the Bounty Hunter was after you. Now, he's a nice bounty hunter. But what would it be like to be followed or stalked by a bounty hunter? Or maybe you're, you know, you know some Italian friends and it's a hitman that's after you because you borrowed money where you shouldn't have. I know you don't have that problem. I would hope you don't have that problem. But you possibly have had a run-in at some time in your life with the modern bounty hunter, which is the bill collector. Or if it's serious enough, of a collection agency. I know a friend of mine, he borrowed some money to purchase a certain item, and he borrowed it actually from a friend, so it was a private loan. And the friend decided one day, because he was in a bit of financial difficulty, he overextended himself, and he was trying to pay everybody a little bit here and there. But the friend, when he realized that he had purchased this item, this other friend that he owed money to, he didn't talk to him about anything. He didn't say, "You know what, I think you should be paying me. You shouldn't be buying more stuff when you're already in debt." And he immediately turned him over to a collection agency, which caused a big, big problem. And I don't know if you know what those calls are like. I hope you haven't had them, but somebody you know maybe has had them, these nasty calls. Threatening letters, legal action, all of that stuff, ruined credit. That's one of the. There was a lady that got threatening calls and all that from Rogers. I was listening to her describe this on a radio talk show, and she said, "I've never dealt with Rogers. They got my name wrong, was confused with somebody else, and she lost her whole credit rating, and they would not restore it or take any action to restore it, even though she had never had service with Rogers." And they turned it over to a collection agency. They had done all the stuff they can do to damage somebody's credit. So, I mean, that stuff happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen much. But imagine the person who has that job. What would his or her job be like? Say they are the person that works for the collection agency, and they have to make those nasty calls. And you know, you can imagine, you know, they're going off to work and their spouse says, "Make them squirm today, honey. Make them squirm today." And because their whole job is to be aggressive and nasty, and they're already in that attitude. I've had that call. I tried to deal with Bell Telephone. And when I was needing them to correct something, boy, they were already nasty as soon as I talked to them. The only way I got it solved, somebody else from Bell called me trying to sell me something. And I said, "Well, I really appreciate your call, but you know, I do have a little problem here." They were as nice as anything, and they fixed my problem because they weren't the nasty one. They weren't trained to be nasty. So I think there is some good things that can happen. But how about the person who has to do that? Can you imagine spending every day demanding payment? What that would be like? But you know, maybe we do. Even the best of us have tried it. Doesn't someone owe you? Don't you get that feeling at times that someone owes you? Maybe it's not money. Could be they owe you an apology. Maybe you deserve a second chance. A favor in return. I've done so much for this person. You'd think they could do something for me. Maybe you feel someone owes you an explanation. They owe you a thank you. For some people, feel like they're owed a childhood or a marriage. What are we going to do with all of those kinds of debts? And we do incur them from time to time. And I'm not saying that everybody is distressed about them and deals with them badly, but sometimes we are in that dilemma of what do we do with that? Dealing with debt, I believe, is at the heart of what makes us able to live a happy life, a peaceful life on the inside. And that is why I believe that it is at the heart of what we call the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was asked, how do we pray? And he gave them a pattern for prayer. What is right in the middle of that prayer? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and then verses 14 and 15. And we'll read it there. Matthew 6, verse 12. This is right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then 14 and 15, he carries on after he is given that pattern that we use for prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer and we repeat it, but it's more about teaching on prayer than it is really about a prayer to be repeated. After he is given that, he said, for if you, because he points out what is at the core of this, the center of this. He said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. There's a principle here, and it's pretty straight talk from Jesus. He's saying forgiveness is offered, but it's a two-way street. What will we do with our debts? A man was writing about this, that he saw a grizzly bear in a clearing, and he was feeding on what was the remains of a camp that some people had. The people weren't there. Obviously, the grizzly was in there tearing things up and eating what food was available. And, of course, no one would go near. I mean, a grizzly bear, nobody's going to go near or mess with it. They just figured they'd leave it alone till it had finished and moved off. But then a skunk came along. And the bear did not pay any attention to the skunk. And the skunk went right beside the bear and was eating away at the food as well. Why do you think that is? What do you think the grizzly knows about the high cost of getting even that skunks are not worth messing with? Maybe he's done that before. I don't know. But they just seem to know. You know, you pay a price when you try to settle scores. If you try to do it in your own strength, in your own way. Nobody wants to be too close to a person that settles scores. Even if you're not directly involved, you know, because if you've been in a situation where two people are working something out here and it gets kind of heated, I mean, you may take a stray bullet, maybe not from a gun, but you definitely can take some emotional hits. But you pay a high price physically for settling debts. But you also pay a high price emotionally. And I know there was this, I thought about this, it's kind of a silly thing. Amos and Andy were like slapstick comedians back in the day. But sometimes stuff that they did makes us think about things in a different way. And so Amos has got this little bottle, and Andy says, what's in the bottle? And he says, it's nitroglycerin. He says, what are you doing with that? He takes it and puts it in his shirt pocket. He says, you know, that there's that fellow down there that has this annoying habit of poking me in the chest when he talks to me. And he says, this time I'm ready for him. If he pokes me one more time, I'm going to blow his finger off. And we don't realize that the things that we try to do to get back at somebody else also affects us. Even when we get even, so to speak, it never seems to turn out like we'd like it to. If we hold grudges, it hurts us. And of course, it's not just physical; it's a spiritual principle. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. We don't earn forgiveness in the sense that, okay, if you just are you're a nice person, you're always forgiving everybody, then you're automatically forgiven. Otherwise, we don't need Jesus. That's not why Jesus was talking about this. It wasn't about that the only way to be saved or to be forgiven as a Christian is to earn it. But Jesus is pointing out a principle that works within the society, within a people, that forgiveness is what makes us able to move forward when we make mistakes. And guess what? We all make mistakes. We've all said things that we wished we could get that back. I have done that a few times. And there was a girl at work, and she was going, kind of describing how she has sort of these little habits where she just has to have everything in a certain order, and is a little bit compulsive about certain things, have to be a certain way, and she's going on about that, and after she's explained all of that, she said to me, she said, so I guess you know my little secret. And I said, well, it's not a secret. She said, and I wished I could have pulled that one back, even though she thought it was pretty funny, and she told some other people. I'm thinking, that's not a good counselor thing to say. You're supposed to notice things, but not point them out like that. But failure to deal with offenses always affects relationships. And it affects our interpersonal relationships with each other, but also affects our relationship with God. If you're holding a grudge against somebody, have you ever found that it's really tough to be really open in your relationship with God? Because every time you get into any kind of sense where you're wanting to really pray, you're wanting to really ask God for stuff, in the back of your mind is like, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that woman who told you that you shouldn't suck your gut in to see the numbers on the scales? But there are things that we know have to be dealt with. When our kids were younger, we had to deal with kids messing up. Because kids will make mistakes. What if they skip school? Well, our kids actually weren't much for skipping school. Dan skipped one class and got the punishment thereof. We'd saved up all the skipping school punishments for that one time that he skipped one class. But, or starts a fight or gets caught stealing, all of those things. We don't disown the child. You don't take dire action. But if they don't make it right, it gets a little cool between them and the parent until they do. And I remember Pam had a great line. When the kids were being obstinate, they wanted their own way, and it wasn't the right way, as parents understand right. And she would say this. She would say, fine, do what you want. But it wasn't what she said. It was how she said it. Fine, do what you want. And the kids would get so, so upset. They say, I hate it when she says that. Then they go and they do it. because you knew that it wasn't fine to do what you wanted. I mean, she said it was fine, but you knew that she was going to be ticked, and they didn't want to live with the tension in the relationship that comes out of that. And so they make it right. Sometimes I wonder if God does bring certain things across our path to kind of work that through with us. Unconfessed sin leads to a state of inner turmoil. Yes. When we do stuff and we know that it's not right, and maybe nobody else knows, but we know. And we know, if we're honest, we know that God knows. And if we just leave that there, it stirs something inside. It creates some inner turmoil. And if you don't give your neighbor a second chance when they mess up, it's really hard when we mess up to expect God to deal with that. And he wants us to bring it to him. He wants us to go to him and say, I messed up. But he also, the practice of that becomes much more easy if we can do it with people. Because if you can't do it with the person that you care about first, within your family or friends, and if you can't do it with your neighbor, then it's harder to do it with God. We are taught to treat our neighbor, or we're taught to pray, treat me as I treat my neighbor. Essentially, that's what that is. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, but we're also to treat our neighbors the way we want to be treated. We want God to treat us the way we treat our neighbors. If we're not doing the other part, we're not doing our part, he's going to have a hard time convincing us that he can do his part. And I don't know that God stops loving us or even stops forgiving us or anything like that. It's we can't receive it. That's what I've found anyway. I can't receive it the same. It's almost like God said, fine, do what you want. And then you've got that dilemma. Some Christians say, I forgive you, to whatever situation that they deal with. And they mean it. They don't just say it. And I found that people that practice that on a regular basis, we're not perfect, we don't do it every time, but practice that on a regular basis, are happier and more at peace. Some Christians say, I am ticked. And as long as they hold that, whatever it is that they're ticked about, they tend to be more angry and agitated generally. It just upsets the rest of the things that are going on. So I guess my question for you this morning is, which would you rather be? Would you rather be the person that is at peace and is happy with the world around you and has a good working relationship with God, knowing that when we make a mistake, he will forgive us, knowing that if we make a mistake, our friends and family are loving and caring, but if they make a mistake, we're also loving and caring back to them? Or do we want to be the person that settles scores? It'll be a cold day in August if I'm the first one to make the reconciliation. I dealt with a couple not long ago, and both of them had issues, big issues. And so I gave them some work to do in between one session and the next. And I said, let's set the past aside. You've got a lot of history here. You're wanting to work this out. I want their homework was to do one nice thing for the other person each day. I said, you can even make a game of it, trying to figure out what was the nice thing that they did. It doesn't have to be big, just some little thing. And not even a day had gone by, and one of them called me up and said that the other one had done a whole bunch of things to tick this person off. What are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to be nice to this person who's doing everything to make their life miserable? And what I said to them, I said, you do your part. Somebody has to start in resolving any conflict. Even when it's our own conflict inside, we have to make that first move. We don't have to, but if you want it to be resolved sooner, the first move to make resolution is the one that's going to speed up the process. Pam and I have had a really good relationship, but if we were having a difficult time, all I have to do is start doing nice things for her. And it works. Oh my gosh. She gets so nice. And did that come out wrong? I mean, we'll suck that one back in. Please forgive me. I got some more nice things to do. And I know this seems like a really simple message, and maybe all of you are practicing this, but you might run across somebody and they're just wondering why it is that they're having a tough time. And after they've told you all of the people that they're ticked off with, or the person that they're really ticked off with, start there and say, well, as long as you hold that grudge, you are the one that's going to suffer as much as the other person, maybe more. And so if you can let that go, then you can move past that. They may make it right, they may not make it right. But we don't want to hold those things. And God doesn't want us to hold those things. Forgive us this day our debts, our deficiencies, as we forgive those who act against us. The rest doesn't really matter. But, yeah. And we do want to live in the love and the grace that God has provided. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us and care about us. You love us enough to give us correction when we need it. You love us enough to forgive us our sins. Help us to also be loving and generous and forgiving when we deal with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.